Good morning and happy Sabbath. My name is Larry Cohen. As he mentioned, I'm an emergency physician from Colorado. I do work at the busiest emergency department in the state of Colorado. We have over 100,000 visits a year, and we'll get into that a little bit. First, I'd like to open with some prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing me to give my personal testimony this morning. I know there's hundreds of people here that can give a similar testimony that is even more powerful. I just pray that what I have to say will bless these people. I pray for continued blessing for Amen Group, and thank you for allowing me today and for all you've done in my life. That's Jesus' holy name, Amen. I would like to open up with a verse out of couple of verses out of Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. I was honored and a little surprised when George Guthrie asked me to speak this morning. We did do a thing with Hans Diehl on 3ABN and talked about my health problems, which I continue to deny I have. Had a little condition, as Dr. Cummings said. And it was... I grew up, if you've ever heard Clifford Goldstein speak, you could hear his testimony, and it's pretty much the same as mine. I grew up, Cohen is obviously a Jewish name, and I grew up out West Coast, born in New York. When I was 6 weeks old, we moved to California. Typical California Reform Jews. Went to temple a few times a year for special holidays like Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, things like that. No real religion in the home, although my grandparents were Orthodox Jews out in New York. My parents completely split from that. You know, we were required to go to Sabbath school, for religious school on Saturday mornings. Our temple had services, religious services, on Friday evening. And I was upset because all the good cartoons were Saturday morning, so... It kind of bothered me a little bit, but but there was no mention of God in my home growing up, other than when my parents were mad. His name was used, unfortunately, quite frequently. So I grew up without any religion. But as a child, I think God lets us know He's there, and I did believe in God. I believed there was a God. I'd even pray, even though my parents never prayed, never taught me to pray. I would pray at night. I even prayed that if my wife, when I was a teenager, I remember praying, whoever my wife's going to be, if she's sick, heal her. You know, I mean, my wife wound up having Hodgkin's disease, so she, before I met her, and she was taken care of. I grew up just a typical secular kid. When I got into high school, I got in a wrestling team, and wrestling is an interesting sport, especially if you're trying to make weight to be able to wrestle. Get that, you don't want to be overweight, you can't wrestle. And I was a terrible eater as it was. My mother was a nurse, worked full-time. My father worked in a television station, and I was pretty much on my own. I was born 59 years, 357 days ago. So, yeah, I'm going to be 60 next week. I have a five-year-old brother who's a brother 5 years older than me. And then 56 years, 357 days ago, I had twin brothers born on my birthday. So I was a middle child, and, you know, there's a lot of problems with middle child. In fact, is there any psychiatrist here? I can maybe talk a little bit afterwards, so... Anyways, being that middle child, I was kind of a loner. My older brother didn't want to have anything to do with me. My younger brothers really didn't want to have anything to do with me. I'd terrorize them, and that's about it. I was just with my friends. I was over at my friend's house all the time, and we started drinking. Fortunately for me, my body didn't like alcohol. I mean, if I drank too much, I'd throw up. So I used to fake it. Didn't do any drugs in high school, although my friends started smoking marijuana. I just refused to do that until after I got out of high school. That's another story. There was nothing in my life. And then I learned bad eating habits as a wrestler. My first year of wrestling, I weighed 85 pounds, and the lowest weight was 98 pounds. The following year, I gained some weight, and I was wrestling 106 pounds. I usually lose 2 or 3 pounds, or 4 or 5 pounds maybe at the most a week for my sophomore and junior year. I learned that if I was 2 pounds overweight the day before, I'll lose that 2 pounds the next day without eating or drinking anything by the time weight comes in. When I was a senior in high school, I was the same height I am now. I was wrestling the 115-pound waist class, and I was cutting 10 pounds a week to make weight, and that was watching what I ate over the weekend. My last match for the season was on a Thursday evening, and they said, we're allowed to weigh in the morning, on Thursday morning, for the evening class, or for the evening match. So I weighed in Thursday morning, 115 pounds, drank a couple bottles of Gatorade, and just started eating. By the following Monday, I'd gained 30 pounds, 145. Obviously, I was mostly water weight, and to this day, I think I'd have a full head of hair if I wouldn't have cut all that weight during that time and starved myself. So, I did smoke marijuana, tried some other things, didn't really like it all that much. But then I went to college. You know, I was going to go. Yeah, I wanted to be a doctor, so I started medical school, and. I rather went to college to pre-med. And then I got into skydiving. That's something I always wanted to do ever since I was a little kid. Skydive seemed to be, there was a TV show in the 60s called Ripcord. And these guys just looked like they were flying. You know, the ground's not rushing up. And I started getting into that. I talked a couple friends into going out for the first jump course, and they didn't really like it, but I did. I mean, I was never so scared in my life. In fact, the very first jump, we go through the class. It's not like today with you're strapped to somebody or people jump out with you. It was just a static line. So I remember going out to the plane, and the guy's going, you're number one, you're number two. When he pointed at me, he goes, you're number three. I heard, you're number three. I'm going, he told the guy he's on the ground, watch the third guy. It's not, his show's not going to open. You know, I was just so scared. You know, and then I look at the airplane, and it's just 1938 a tail dragger, big, huge engine, a lot of fabric and duct tape on it. I'm thinking, that doesn't look safe either. You know, and I was just scared to death until I landed on the ground. I forgot how scared I was and went and signed back up. So got into skydiving to the point where I wasn't going to school, kind of dropped out of college. Then I wound up working in a factory. Just my mind was turned to mush. And decided to go back to school. I was on a, here, that's me with head of hair, top right, and my brothers. It's just kind of a painting of some pictures. And there I was out in the drop zone. I'm on the right side. And I got into team jumping. That was my team. The guy next, I'm on the bottom right here. The guy next to me, this guy, turns out, you know, jumpers, you know, they jump all day, party at night, jump all day. And we were doing, you know, 7, 8 jumps a day for getting ready for the national championships. And everybody drank except for this guy. Very dry sense of humor. Turns out he was an Adventist. Never knew it. But he'd gone away from the church, but he didn't do anything that was really contrary. He didn't, he was jumping on the Sabbath, but he didn't drink or do drugs or anything like that. And actually, he's out in Washington State now. He did pretty good. He was CEO of Oakley Sunglasses there for a while. So, I talked to him not too long ago. He said, yeah, I bought an indoor football team. I go, well, I bought a football. I'm still making payments on it. So, yeah. My son flies a corporate jet, and I sent him a picture of it. I told him my new ride. He goes, fly it yourself, or did you hire somebody? He was serious. I go, no. So, but there is a picture. It's kind of fuzzy, but it's a picture. I'm somewhere, I think, I'm about 12 o'clock or about 11 o'clock there. That actually picture was sent out on the AP wire. But so I got into that. But I mean, my diet got so bad. My mother was not a great cook. I mean, our vegetables were out of a can. They go from the can to the pot to the plate to my napkin to the garbage. So that was how I ate. The only vegetables I really ate was the lettuce and onions on my burgers because I didn't like tomatoes. And when I was 25 years old, I can eat whatever I want. And it was just, you know, I wouldn't gain weight. And so that's how I ate. I went back to school, kind of got out of the skydiving because it was almost addictive to me at that point. There's another one. So my diet was terrible. I'd still smoke marijuana. I met my wife at Loma Linda. I went to restorative therapy school at Loma, got my BS in restorative therapy from Loma Linda. And I knew the director for the restorative therapy interns, people that did like a 2-year program, they wanted to get some extra stuff because Loma Linda was the mecca for restorative therapy at the time. So so he introduced me to my future wife, and she grew up, I think her mom joined the church when she was about 10 or 11, and she had left the church. She still told me she believed in what the church believed, but she would not say she was an Adventist because she was not living an Adventist life. And so she was not doing a lot of bad stuff, but she would, that's where she was at. So we eventually got married. I finished my restorative therapy BS degree. Then I applied to medical school. Took a year off, just kind of working. We got married, got pregnant, in that order, and then went to medical school. In the meantime, I'm just eating terribly. You know, she on and off kind of goes semi-vegetarian and not, you know. So when we left to go to medical school, went to Kansas City osteopathic school, and our son was about 6 months old. We went there, and after close to a year, she said she wants to start taking him to Sabbath school. So I said, okay, you know, whatever that is, I'll go with you. So we'd go to church, we'd go to Sabbath school. Wouldn't stay for church most of the time, but she wanted to expose the kids to church. She thought it was important. And I went ahead, and I'd go with her, I'd support her with it. And we did that through medical school. I did my internship in Washington, D.C. at Andrews Air Force Base. It was a transitional internship. Then we went over to seas to England for a couple years. And over there, she goes, I want to start going to church full time. So we'd go, not just Sabbath school, and I'd listen and I'd sleep a little bit. But we still wouldn't really keep the Sabbath the way that we do now. Because I'd just go to church and then we'd do whatever we want. Then she sprung it on me. She wanted to be a vegetarian. You know, I mean, I'm going to be embarrassed when I go to a restaurant, you know, and she says she's a vegetarian. We did fine that way, too. And then we came back to the United States do my residency, finish up my residency in emergency medicine. That was down in San Antonio, Texas. It's a joint military command. It was an Air Force Army combined residency. And we were 2 level 1 trauma setters there. And we'd have bodies piled up with thoracotomies on a nightly basis, it seemed like. So it was pretty, very, very stressful, you know, residency. You know, you put in a lot of hours and don't have a lot of time off. She wanted to start keeping the Sabbath as the Sabbath. And I was at the point where I was not looking forward to it. I was so tired. I wanted to be able to do whatever I want to do on my days off. But I didn't. Here's what she's teaching our children. We had a son and a daughter. And so I was not going to try to contradict what she's trying to show them. So I'd support them and we'd go. But I was not a believer. I'd listen to them and I'd say, this sounds good, but I think all you have to do is be a good person. You'll go to heaven. You know, I believe there's a God. It really doesn't matter. I didn't know, growing up, I didn't know there was a difference between either Jewish or you're a Christian. I mean, when Kennedy was running for president, I remember them talking about him being a Catholic. I'm saying, what's the big deal? Catholic, a Catholic is I had no idea there was a difference between Catholicism and Protestantism. But my diet continued to get worse and worse. And slowly, the weight came on. And I didn't really realize it. I mean, I'd stayed about 145 for a long time. And then in the Air Force, they were doing some things on cholesterol studies. And they were using the doctors and drawing our blood. Oh, gosh, your cholesterol is 220. So what? I'm pretty arrogant about my health. I didn't have high blood pressure, never smoked, no family history of heart disease, no diabetes, no hypertension. My cholesterol was a little high. That was about it. So I didn't think much of it. For years, I didn't think much of it. Did my residency, went up to Air Force Academy up in Colorado Springs to finish up my commitment to the Air Force. I wound up 8 years in the Air Force. It's kind of funny. We see where I'm at right now. We see a lot of military, Air Force and Army, and our hospital takes care of all the Army guys that pretty much all the military people, even though they have a hospital there, when they come in a car wreck or trauma or things like that. And I'll joke with them and say, yeah, I was going to go in the military. I decided not to. I went in the Air Force instead. They think that's... They really appreciate that, too. So I started, but the weight kept coming on and on and on to the point where I didn't like looking in the mirror. I knew I was overweight. My wife was even, didn't even notice that I'd gotten heavier. In fact, she'd go on and off being a vegetarian still. And even when she was a vegetarian, still cheese and pork. She didn't get fat like I did, but she put on a few pounds as well, more than she ever. But we never even noticed. We look back at these pictures now and go, boy, we were bad. So after that, finished my commitment with the Air Force, went down to to Amarillo, Texas. Some guys were starting an ER group in Amarillo, and they want, I went down there to kind of help start it. I was going to go there for 2 years. Then come back to Colorado Springs. I wound up there for 10 years. We go down there, we homeschooled our kids. You just get in the lifestyle. And then once the kids were gone, I say, well, why are we still here? So we came back to Colorado Springs. It's interesting, too, because before we came back to Colorado Springs, my wife said, we were talking about going. She goes, well, if somebody, we talked about leaving Amarillo. She says, well, if God wants us to go someplace, someone will call. And I tried to tell her, we're in bed now. I said, honey, nobody's going to call me unless I put out a resume. She said, okay. Well, I go, I'm going to check the messages. Sure enough, the first message, my medical director from Colorado Springs said, hey, Larry, we're just thinking about you. We're wondering if you wanted to come back to Colorado Springs. I told her, we're going to Colorado Springs. So when I was in Amarillo, Texas, those 10 years, Texas is a big barbecue, big meat, big ranching industry. And again, I did not eat anything that if it was green, red. The red was okay if it was coming out of the meat. But other than that, I didn't eat much good. So I noticed myself getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Finally, one day I got on the scale and weighed myself 196 pounds. Well, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm not going to get heart disease. I'm not going to get cancer. I'm not going to get anything bad because I've got good genes. But I don't want to be 200 pounds. So I told my wife, let's join a gym. Of course, she rolls her eyes at me because that's what wives do. But that's over the years, we've joined gyms, you know, and never done anything. So we joined the Gold's Gym there. And they said, by the way, we have this program called Apex. And for $200, 6 weeks with a trainer, 6 weeks, you know, once a week with a trainer, once a week with a diet person. I said, okay, I'll do it. And first thing she said, well, what do you think, why do you think this will, why are you taking this class? I go, or this course? I go, I want to lose weight. What do you think, what makes you going to stick with it? I go, well, I'm paying $200. So I mean, I did great. I mean, I was working out 6 days a week, mostly weightlifting, do cardio stuff about three times a week. I hated to run. I didn't like to run. I'm not a fast runner. But, I mean, the weight started coming off and the muscle started coming up to the point where I was kind of powerlifting. I wound up dropping down to about 145 pounds. I lost like 50 pounds. But it was a starvation diet. I mean, I was hungry all the time. About halfway through, they go, oh, you're doing so good. We're going to put you on the shred. What's a shred? It's a high-protein, low-carb diet. And I'm going, all right, meat, you know. But it's funny, about 24 hours into it, I go to the gym, I do my little weights, and I go to get on the stair climber, and I couldn't do it. I had no energy. I needed those carbs for something. And of course, you know, I'm eating so much protein, I'm getting ketotic, so you lose your appetite. And basically, I was sick, so that didn't last for very long. But I lost the weight. And I mean, I even told, and part of this program was eating lots of vegetables, lots of fruit. I mean, I cut out all the bad stuff. I think that was in 99, I have not had anything but water to drink. I mean, that's all I drink. You know, I don't drink any, you know, I think I had took a sip of a Coke one time, and that is so terrible. But in the meantime, I'm still going to church, and I'm listening to all this. What changed, what really got me is I never heard an evangelistic meeting. Then there was Net 95, our church put on, Pastor Mark Finley. Whoa. You know, I mean, the stuff that the information was getting was just unbelievable. And, I mean, I just started researching. I called my pastor. I said, I want to get baptized. And so so I finally got baptized in 96 and been the biggest blessing. And I know it's because my wife's her praying for me. You know, she just prayed and prayed and prayed. And it's just been a blessing. I mean, God has done so much in my life, saved my life. So I lost this weight. I'm eating lots of fruits and vegetables. I'm now on the good Mediterranean diet. I cut out red meat completely. I was eating a lot of fish, though, a lot of salmon, some tuna, some chicken. I need that protein for my weightlifting, you know, I thought. But a lot of olive oil. And so time's going on. About 4 years... 5 years, my wife goes, hey, I'd like to do a marathon. I go, that's kind of long. I got bad knees. And when I was in high school, I had a couple bad knee injuries in football and wound up having a medial meniscectomy on the left knee, bilateral meniscectomy on the right knee, and they didn't scope back. They just went, opened you up, you know, took out as much as they could. But fortunately, for all these years, I never really stressed my knees. I got a little arthritis, but I noticed when I'd go skiing, my knees would kind of swell up and they'd hurt. I couldn't ski more than one day in a row. And just as a side note, when I went to a completely plant-based diet, my knees, yeah, they're a little sore. They got a little arthritis and from everything, but I can ski for 3-4 days in a row. I can run and I have no problem. One thing I did though, before I started doing triathlons is I did get some weight-bearing x-rays to make sure I didn't have bone on bone, which I didn't. So, but she wanted to do a marathon. I go, now how about a triathlon? I had some friends doing triathlons. Marathons and triathlons are usually on Sunday. So we don't have to worry about the Saturday races. So she goes, okay, well, I'll sign up with you. So she signed it. So she goes, I'm not sure if I'll do it. So we sign up for the first triathlon, just a sprint. You know, it's like a 500-meter swim. It was like a 18-mile bike. And a 5K, 3.1-mile run. This is down in Texas. And so I'm starting to train for this. We joined a master swim team. And I noticed that my endurance is starting to go down. This was like in September when we signed up. And the race was going to be in June. And I noticed my endurance is going down. One time Even the swim coach says, "You seem to be having a hard time." I go, "I'm just tired from work." So I was going to swim about 400 yards, go to the spin class, and then run. And I noticed that during the swimming, I couldn't breathe. So I got off and went to the spin class, did it. I mean, I'm just pouring out sweat. And the guy next to me goes, "Oh, you look like you got a really good workout." And I go, "I don't feel like I've done anything but sweat." Then I went and did some weights. I got on the treadmill, ran about 2 minutes, and that's it. And I did some weights and went home. The next morning, we go to the spin class. About 10 minutes into it, I get this sense of impending doom. Everything was like black. And nothing hurt, but I mean, it was pure terror. I get off the bike, go outside, get some recoup, go back and tell my wife, "I think I better go to the ER. So I go to the ER, run an EKG on me. The EKG is normal, of course. Symptoms are gone. Now let's go back to the gym. So I get on the treadmill, start running, and then it happens. I feel this pressure on my chest, left arm pain, and jaw pain. I'm thinking, so that's what it feels like. You know, so I stop, symptoms go away, call the cardiologist and say, "You got to do a treadmill on me today." He goes, "Oh, Larry, you're in great shape." I go, "A few years ago, I wasn't." So he does the treadmill, and he says, "I went about 17 minutes. He goes, a little equivocal thing at the end, but I think it's okay, but take these pills. I mean, he was a friend. He didn't want to even admit that there could be anything wrong. I go, "Don't you think you should do a cath?" He said, "Yeah." So we set that up for the following Thursday. This was Monday. And so we go to the cath, and they're going to sedate me. I go, "I don't think you need to sedate me." So I'm just kind of watching. I watch the first picture. It does the LAD first, and boom, I can see it. Mid-LAD, big old lesion. And I go, "Darn." Then I'll go, "Oop, there's another one." But before, while I was sitting there beforehand, my wife is, I'm telling my wife, at the worst, I'm going to have a bypass. And she's going, I'm ER. She's, "Everything's going to be fine. It's not going to be abnormal." And up to then, we've been married about 24 years. That's about 11 years ago. Up to then, we're married 24 years. I don't think I'd ever been right about anything in those 24 years. Unfortunately, I was right about this one. So he goes, "There's a distal lesion that I can put a stent in, but I can guarantee it will block off a vessel and you'll have an MI. So I go, "Bring my wife in." And she's so much smarter than me. And she said, she looked at the cardiologist and said, "Is there anything he can do with diet?" And he just snapped back at her, "No." Of course, have I known then what I know now, I would not have gone through the bypass. Because I think I would at least try a reversal diet, a low-fat, completely plant-based diet, which I wound up doing anyway. So I wound up having the bypass. Of course, because I'm a doctor, there's a complication. I just remember waking up, pointing to my chest, saying, "It hurts, it hurts." And I realize there's no voice coming out. I go, "I must still be intubated." Finally, they get me extubated. I'm telling the nurses, "There's something wrong." She goes, "Oh, it's just the tubes." I go, "No." They're thinking, "Dr. Cohen's a real wimp." Well, I showed them. What happened was they did a beating heart surgery. They didn't put me on a bypass pump. But they did two of the vessels with a lima in sequence. And then they did the third one with a vein graft. Well, one of the feeder veins, they clipped off, unclipped. Well, I had a tamponade. And so they had to rush me back to surgery, and I'm just remember thinking, well, there is such a thing as, irreversible shock. I guess I could die from this, Lord, thank you. I'm ready to come, And I did, people said, God gave you that for a reason. I go, no, God didn't give me that disease. I gave me that disease, But I remember the next morning, I'm telling God, thank you for letting me live. I'm going to do whatever I can to try to promote health. And I mean, I remember Dean Ornish's work, and I remember seeing Hans Diehl on TV. I remember seeing John McDougall on 3ABN and thinking, you say, oh, those guys don't know what they're talking about. Boy, I'm 180 degrees. I'm 100% with him. So I now, I teach the CHIP program. I have nurses from my hospital that have gone to our program. I have other doctors in my group referring patients that come in with heart disease and diabetes and about our program. And the Lord has just really blessed me, allowed me to use what I've done to myself for the good of others. One bad thing is, you know, afterwards, I wound up having a murmur. And he says, you know, this is bad. And so I remember laying in bed, depressed, just very depressed. And I heard about midnight, I said, Lord, please, if there's, you know, let me know it's going to be okay. And I heard a voice three times, Psalm 57. Finally, I get, okay, I'll listen, I'll read it. And I start reading Psalm 57. I got to verse 7. It said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So since then, we've, I had my one month post surgery nuclear scan showed blockage. A year later, it was completely reversed, completely normal. So, and I did get kind of fat. You know, that's with Disneyland with the grandkids and with a, you know, and that was post-op, you know, so with the kids. This is a running, we did the triathlon in that June. My wife got second in her age group. I finished. The following September, we did another one. She got first in her age group. I finished. But less than a year later, we did that first marathon. Now, this is running in Colorado at a little race. But the coldest race I think I've ever done was here in Orlando about 3 years ago at the marathon. It was, it was so cold, the water stops were frozen. Yeah, it was awful. I wore that. And the humidity just cut through that. That's me jumping with my son. I started a club called the Coronary Artery Disease Skydivers, CADS. This was the inaugural world record jump. Everybody in the jump has coronary artery disease. That's my friend Pat Svoboda on the left. Unfortunately, he passed away about a year and a half ago. He actually brought him to when we were out. That we went. I brought him to the CHIP Summit a couple of years ago to try to get him really fired up. And you know, you got to hear Barnard and you know a few, Jeff Novick and things like that. So, he got probably a few extra years. He did change his lifestyle a little bit, and he dropped some weight, but terrible heart disease. So, and that was one of our CHIP program classes a few years ago. That's the man that runs CHIP, Harold Burden. At least he tells me he does. So. And so, anyways, thank you so much. I'd like to just offer closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this gathering today, this wonderful Sabbath, and this wonderful group of people. I thank you so much for all the blessings that you've given me and the blessings you've shared upon all of us here. I pray that we have a good Sabbath and be with the speakers today and be with safe travel for those who will be leaving in the next day or so. I ask this in Jesus' holy name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.